You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
Hello, good afternoon, and welcome. It's another stellar edition of The Drive. This is Bear. I've got John Tyler alongside with Trey Wallace and Hayden, our new intern. Russ will be in shortly. He is currently meeting with some folks about a situation he has, and he'll be in shortly.
Great.
Trey?
What's up, man? How are y'all? Everybody good? Bear looks good. I'm glad we went into that real quick about Russell. He's not doing anything. He'll be here probably in 20, 30 minutes. Who knows? Loaded lineup for you guys today. Christopher Smith going to join us at 3:30 today. Talk about prop bets, whatever you want to do. Pro Bowl. You got college basketball this weekend. The Big 12 SEC Challenge going on. Looking forward to that. People already camping out 2 days early in Lubbock, Texas, ahead of the Texas Tech Kentucky matchup. That'll be happening tomorrow. Tomorrow's basketball lineup should be fun. I look forward to that. If you're into it, then it is what it is. The 24 hours of racing is tomorrow as well. You can catch that anytime in the 24 hours that it starts down at Daytona. But that is the sign of racing season is here. So I look forward to that one as well this weekend. Senior Bowl going on down in Mobile, Alabama. Tomorrow I will be down there. I'm leaving here in just a little bit. Going to head down there. You got Juwan Jennings, Darrell Taylor going to be playing tomorrow in the Senior Bowl. Down in Mobile, get to see them wear the power tee one more time. Get to watch them play. Juwan Jennings, I've been told, has been absolutely fantastic this week down in Mobile. Really helped himself when it comes to, I think personally, draft odds, because he's not going to test well when it comes to the combine. He's not going to flash speed at the combine. So it's good that he's down there at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, he's going to be a steal for somebody. How high do you think is he shown out enough to where – it's going to make certain teams nervous that somebody's going to snatch him before they can get to him.
I was told he's the second best wide receiver down there besides Hill from Ohio State.
Yeah, but when you say that, like, Jerry Jeudy's not down there, right?
No, yeah. I'm just talking about, down there. Yeah. Because you have to be here's the thing a lot of people don't know. I know it's called the Senior Bowl, but you can also be a redshirt junior. As long as you've graduated and gone through 3 years of school, you can participate in the Senior Bowl.
Or if you've completed your fourth year of eligibility.
Well, yeah. So, but no, it's down there. And that was the thing. When I talked to Jim Nagy about this from the Senior Bowl, you know, and they had to make a decision if they were going to take Callaway or they're going to take Jennings. More NFL teams, I was told, by Jim Nagy, were interested in the backstory and getting to know Juwan Jennings than they were Callaway. That's not a shot at Callaway. That's just there's more stuff to unpack with Juwan Jennings than there is Marquez Callaway.
Like, I think Callaway's like in the exact opposite boat of Jennings. Jennings really needed to show out this week because you're right. He's not going to test out as being, you know, with elite speed.
The personal stuff, too. All these NFL teams want to know what happened 2 years ago.
Well, yeah. I imagine he's going to spend more time talking about that than probably anything else.
Right.
But Callaway, on the other hand, if he goes to the combine, I mean, I expect him to be he'll
get invited.
Yeah, and he'll be a combine freak, and
right,
you know,
and that's going to help him. He'll run the 40, probably pretty decent.
The speed analytics geeks will geek out over him, and he'll get a good grade.
No,
like, it wouldn't surprise me if Callaway gets drafted a lot earlier than Juwan.
Yeah, I think Juwan's going to go third round. Type area. I think somebody's going to go for Juwan. Somebody's going to see him on the board. They're going to take him. It's going to be interesting to me who comes off the board first when it comes to the draft. Is it Taylor or is it Juwan? I personally think it might be Darrell Taylor coming off the board first. Now, he's had a good week down in Mobile as well. This game will be played tomorrow. And the big thing about the Senior Bowl is nobody cares about anything after today. All the practices are done. All the drills are done. Now they go out and play the game. And these guys try not to get hurt in these games either. So tomorrow will be fun, though. That is tomorrow afternoon, 3 o'clock, NFL Network. So tune in if you want to watch it. Kind of a precursor to Tennessee basketball. Heading to Lawrence, Kansas later on this afternoon. get ready for the showdown tomorrow versus the Kansas Jayhawks, minus two players. So we'll see. Tennessee's got a shot. Go out to Hops and Hollers tomorrow, hang out with John Reed, watch the game, voluntary reaction, be live from there tomorrow afternoon.
I have a friend that's a diehard Jayhawks fan, diehard. And I was asking him on my drive in about the loss of McCormick, if it was going to be a big deal. And he said, even though he doesn't score a lot, his presence alone is a big loss, like not having him on the floor at all.
I agree with you on that.
So I still don't feel super confident about it, but little more.
I think Tennessee can go in there and steal a game tomorrow. Now, they're going to have to shoot the ball really, really well. Jordan Bowden's going to have to drive the ball. Can't just pop up for 9 3-pointers. Pons has got to have a good game, and Fulkerson's got to make a presence known to the paint.
Kansas is known for letting people shoot threes too. Like that, they're known for that.
Yeah, but that's not exactly what we want these guys to do.
I wouldn't mind Vescovi shooting it though. I trust Vescovi more than anyone else on the floor shooting a three right now.
Here's the thing too: they're not going to be intimidated either.
No,
they've played in bigger games. I mean, going to Rupp is bigger than going to Kansas. In my opinion, when I'm talking about a hostile territory, Kentucky. Look, Kansas fans are out there thinking, "Oh man, we
might need
some
to be
bad...
our smoking hot question of the day."
That's a big question.
What's a worse environment to go play in? Fog Island?
Because I think there can be arguments made for both sides. Because here's the thing about Rupp: even though we go up there every year, Barnes is one up there.
Yeah,
and we go up there. Like every year, so I don't know if it's got. I mean, there's a lot of history walking down. I mean, the intimidation factor, stepping on that floor, it's not something. None of these guys. I mean, when's the last time we played Kansas?
It was Bruce.
Bruce? Was that the last time?
We went to Kansas.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
You sure that was Bruce or what? Kanza?
I'm pretty sure it was Bruce.
I remember going out to Fog Island sometime in the last 6 years. I think it was Kanza.
Payton's looking that up for us.
But no, I look, tomorrow's game. It'll be interesting because I want to see how much of a factor Kansas fans are to make that place rowdy. Because if you're a Kansas fan, you're looking at this, you're like, wait a minute, okay, Tennessee was good last year, not that good this year per se. You know, it's not like Kentucky's coming in. It's not like LSU's coming in. This is a Tennessee team that, you know, sitting right above 500 in conference.
If you're a Jayhawks fan, looking at our roster and looking at maybe watching some highlights on YouTube of the season, who's the two guys that you would be like, oh gosh, that guy and that guy are the ones I'm really worried?
None of them.
And that's what I'm saying. Exactly. If I was a Jayhawks fan, I would be like, overlook it. Completely overlook it.
This screams Triple J 20-point game. This is what it is. Chalk it up, but it just screams Triple J 20-point game. I don't know.
The only chance I think we have is we get is it Azubuike? Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
We have to get him in foul trouble. Have any chance at all?
And that's where Jordan Bowden driving the basketball and not popping up for three is the big key for tomorrow. Big key for tomorrow.
Him and Josiah, and I mean, we need to definitely be going to the rack on this guy and try and see if we can get him into making some stupid decisions.
I mean,
you know, I know they only had two guys suspended, but the other guy was a starter. Those minutes have to go somewhere. And they're down two.
Right.
Two guys that get minutes, they're down those minutes.
I'm just not looking forward to tomorrow's telecast. I'm not looking forward to I'm not watching game day tomorrow. Maybe 5 minutes. I know what they're going to be talking about the whole game day tomorrow. I just don't care to listen to that for 2 hours. During the broadcast tomorrow, you might as well just put it on mute because all they're going to talk about is the brawl from the other night. They're going to pin that down one way or the other every single other play, every break, every under 18, I mean, 16, every under 12. They're going to try to figure out a way to play that up because that is the story, and I get that. So we'll talk about that more today. Russell, definitely keep that up in the 4 and the 5. Antonio Brown surrendered to authorities last night. Look, for a guy that's accused, he's accused of beating up the dude in the truck and then throwing stones at his truck. But the fact that they threw a GPS monitor on him, $120,000 bail, no guns or firearms, drug testing, mental health check. They got this guy on a lot more than what you would think the affidavit would say. If it was me going out throwing stones at a truck and then beating somebody up, I don't know if I'd get a GPS monitor, a drug test.
Number one, I feel like most normal people, if any of us did that, some massive trucker.
Get the crap beat out of us.
Well, yeah. You know, but I understand. I mean, he's completely unstable.
I'm glad they got him on a 5150.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I've been saying all week, is he really needs to be checked in and get a mental health evaluation done. But I mean, this follows a pattern. He doesn't like paying his bills. You know, he's apparently, according to what the alleged victim said, was that he was, you know, smoking a doob while he was beating his ass.
I mean, maybe he's trying to calm down. I
don't know. I mean,
okay. Here's my thing. If he was doing blow or something like that, okay, that'd be one thing. But smoking weed, okay, I really don't care. Like smoking weed.
No, I'm just it's just such a wild picture that you're famous.
Yeah, I agree.
You're on a street. Where did this happen? Was this in
his neighborhood, in a gated community?
Where did he live? Say, where was it? Down in Florida?
Down in Florida, yeah. Right, I think it's Hollywood, Florida.
Huh.
Yeah, in a gated community, right outside of it was in his house. It was in his driveway.
Well, yeah. And he didn't want to pay, and he wanted that. He didn't want to pay with either a money order or cash. That's all that guy would accept.
Well, he didn't want to pay for the damage done to the truck. That was the thing. Like, he started throwing stones and rocks, they said. He didn't want to pay for the damage to the truck.
So, huh.
Yeah, dude called 911. Hey, man, he's been throwing stones at my truck.
Yeah, because he wanted the guy. The story is he wanted the guy to unload. They don't unload that stuff until you pay.
Yeah.
And the guy refused to unload it.
Because it came from California. It was a long haul. I want to be paid. Just drove from California to Florida. Pay me my money.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this guy's probably watched ESPN. He knows this guy's got a bad habit of not paying the bills.
It's interesting with him. You look at around the country, Eli Manning announces his retirement today. Says he will always be a Giant, and I think he said like just a Giant, meaning he's not going to go play for anybody else. Not going to go play for anybody else. Last night, for one half, Tennessee women's basketball actually looked pretty good. But then the third quarter came around, and those 24 turnovers started happening. You're like, you know what? This is not going to go well for Lady Vols. So they lost
last
night.
Didn't they have 20 at halftime already?
Yeah, they did. Yeah. I think they ended up with 26, 27 turnovers on the game. So whatever. They played with them for a half. It is what it is. Didn't pull it out. They lost last night. Gino was overly nice in his comments. So took that game last night. Hey, what was the last time Tennessee played at Kansas? You got to turn your mic on for that. Just letting you know.
Yeah, thank you for that. We played them at Kansas in 2009, so that would have been Bruce. And then, of course, the 2010 is when we won with the Skylar McBee 3 at the shot clock buzzer.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's the last time they went out to Lawrence?
Yeah, 2009 was the last time we were there. Then we played them two
at
other
Brooklyn.
Times neutral. Yeah.
Yeah, I played them in Brooklyn and somewhere else. Okay. Well, I look, this is a game where I think Tennessee, maybe we can take control of the point spread. I don't know. We'll figure out. Christopher Smith will give us more on that later on today. Rolling along here today, Christopher Smith, like I said, 3:30. Russell Smith will be in here in just a little bit. We're just hanging out today. We'll take your phone calls as well, 865-546-8200.
Yeah, the phones, I don't know if we did. We say anything?
Oh,
I can't remember.
We didn't.
The phones are working. So if you got hot Bear takes stored up.
Comcast guy and got his phone.
You know, I know some of you all have some grievances against Russell, specifically Phil. Feel free to call in 865-546-8200.
If you want to take out some aggression over the last 2 days, the more the merrier. Just bring it on and we'll go. The man walks into the door just as we're going to break. So let's pop it in right now. Come back on the other side. We'll get Russell Smith to join us. We're rolling along here. It's on a Friday. It's The Drive. We're on Fox Sports Knoxville.
Does your business need...
All right, welcome in. The Drive Fan Run Radio. Welcome back, I should say. I know, it's kind of weird. Jumping in midstream here. Russell Smith reporting for duty. Thanks for holding down the fort, guys.
It's Bear cool. Trey. I like going to the bullpen.
Early. We get started here this afternoon. Sorry, I'm scrambling a little late here this
afternoon. What's up, man?
Not much. Getting ready for a big weekend. Doing well, you guys? Good? Everybody good here?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm absolutely terrified at this point.
What's the matter?
The pandemic, the global pandemic that's getting ready to wipe out.
Hold on. It's not.
You can't just jump into a pandemic?
No, I don't. I've got other stuff. I mean, that's for later. That's once we get off the rails, Bear. We got a lot of sports stuff to talk about. I heard you guys hit on it towards the end. The Lady Vols last night.
Just blew it.
What?
They just blew it. Turnovers.
I got to say, man, I saw that coming, man. Like, I was stunned that we played as well as we did in the first half.
I don't think UConn's that good from what, you know. I watched.
Well, they've lost
the
one game.
Third quarter.
Have they lost one game?
Yeah, one game.
Three, I thought.
I mean, no, we've lost three.
We've lost three.
They've lost, well, we've lost they four
lost a,
now.
They lost to Baylor.
Okay.
Yeah, they and
they don't look that good.
They might not be what they're accustomed to, but they are better than us. And, I mean, they're like Duke under Coach K, where, yeah, they might have a year where they take a step back and lose a couple of games, but they're still at the zenith of the sport. They are the gold standard. And we had completely lost our way as a program. I was expecting to get slaughtered last night. I see a lot of people like, oh, man, the turnovers. And, man, we like I see a lot of people on my timeline just saying Lady Vols suck and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, we suck. That's why we hired a new coach. And she's in her first year, and we're completely outgunned. Like, I thought we were just going to get completely wiped off the map, and we were taking it to them for the majority of the first half, and then we just ran out of gas, man. They're in better condition than we are. They're more skilled than we are, and they blew us away. And I saw it coming, but I was, you know, if that is any indication of the way we're going to play, because here's the thing. A lot of people who are commenting on the game are folks who did not don't watch women's basketball and haven't watched the Lady Vols in the past couple of years, so they don't really know what's been going on with that program. What we saw last night, the turnovers aside, is light years better than anything we put together last year or the previous years. I mean, if you watched us play, I remember the Alabama game in Tuscaloosa last year, watching that. The Vanderbilt game in Nashville, like just the chaotic disorganization, the lack of effort, the no offensive identity at all. It was terrible. And all that stuff was gone. We were hustling. We were playing hard. Yes, we ran out of gas. We don't have the depth and quality that they do. But before we got tired, we were playing great team defense. We were moving to the ball. We were not giving anything easy. We were rebounding. All hallmarks of the Pat Summitt era. Defense and rebounding is what won seven national titles for Pat Summitt. And that stuff was back. And we were making a couple of threes. There were probably maybe some lucky shots and stuff like that. But to me, last night was a huge step in the right direction. And I know you play to win the game, and I'm not here for moral victories or anything, and it sucks to see snivelly little lion-ass Gino over there getting his jollies and taking a shot at Kelly Harper afterwards. But big picture-wise...
What do you say about Kelly Harper? I miss
that. I'll get to it. But big picture-wise, I think last night was a huge step in the right direction. And once this coach gets... Once we get the recruiting up and we get – because we're only playing with, like, I think 10 players, scholarship players or something like that. Once we get the recruiting up and get healthy and get in shape.
A full year of strength and conditioning under this program.
And get back to just that being the standard, that hustle, that effort being the standard and nothing less being acceptable. We're going to be back, man. We're going to be in a Final Four within 5 years.
13-point underdogs and you lose by 15 because of a shot inside the last minute. I think you take away six or seven of those turnovers, Tennessee's probably in it in the last minute.
I mean, I don't even worry about the spread. I mean, they're a better team than us, and I guarantee you right now, I mean, Geno is going over the film for that. Like, he is pissed that we took it to them the way we did in the first half. And I just, you know, basket after basket,
driving the ball, rebounds, getting them on the defensive side as well. I thought they played I thought they played good basketball in the first half.
I'm not going to say I'm thrilled because we lost the game, but 10,000 foot view, I'm thrilled that they're back doing the stuff that they used to do in terms of effort, because that had just completely gone by the wayside. And our program was not even a shell of itself, completely unrecognizable to what it was under Pat Summitt the last. And I'm not trying to go in on Holly Warlick or anything like that, but it was time for a change. And I'll say this too, man. I was skeptical about Kelly Harper. I thought we passed over some more qualified coaches who were doing better, that would have loved to have this job just to kind of appease the quote-unquote Lady Vol family and keep it in the family and everything. Not that I don't think it was a bad hire. She couldn't get it done. I just thought we could have done better. I think she's a home run, man. And I don't keep up with the recruiting enough to know exactly what we've got coming in, but I think as far as reinstilling the discipline and the toughness and the effort, the tenacity, all that stuff, like, oh, man, I think she knocked it out of the park. So very excited about that. One thing, and we'll put this up to a poll. The phones are fixed here at Fan Run Radio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here we go.
Apparently, it was something fairly easy to fix, too.
Somebody, like, had to flip a switch.
I think we had to unplug. We weren't unplugging the right thing for, like, 10 seconds.
That's good. That's that's a good look. So, I don't know if this is a good thing. Because until this morning at about, like, 8 a.m., all the comments I had gotten on Twitter were, the show is a lot better without calls. Like, I'm not saying, like, most of them, 100%. And it wasn't a ton of feedback. It was maybe a dozen or so tweets over the past 2 days. But most of it was, the show's better without the calls. Then this morning, and I was planning to talk about this, about how this morning about 8 a.m., Jamie jumped in. Ray of Sunshine Jamie jumped into the Twitter feed. And you know, never one to pull any punches or beat around the bush. Never one to soften the blow. I believe, I don't have it in front of me, but it was something like, The podcast sucked yesterday. The callers are the only good thing about the show.
Like, of course he would say that. He's a caller.
A little bit self-serving, but...
Jeez.
So, I don't know. Like, I don't know if I want to... I want to take calls at some level, but I'm wondering if there should be a change. So, I was going to put the poll in the field. Like, what do you think we should do? Should we have more calls? Should we have less calls? Should we shorten the length? That's one criticism I often get is, you let people go on too long. And my thing is, like...
Should it be a buzzer?
Like a count, like a shot clock?
You got 30 seconds, go.
I don't know, that puts a lot of pressure on people.
Somebody at the station already did that. I think it was John.
Yeah.
He tried that right before he just, because, you know, those guys just, well, they Mark, don't take
Mark
calls.
Packer did that on his TV show for a while. And, like, it was, and I know TV, he's got to be quicker because he's got less time. But he would get calls and the guy would be like, hey, Mark, how you doing? And he's like, I'm good. Go ahead. Hey, Austin, how you doing? I'm good, man. Go ahead. I just want to make sure everybody's doing okay. And, like, by the time he got through with his introductions, there's like 10 seconds left, and he would ask his question, and then they would cut him off before you even heard the whole question. So it ended up just wasting that 30 seconds. So I don't want to do that.
No.
But maybe we – here's the problem is a lot of our callers, a lot of the regulars – well, two things. First of all, people hear the same callers call in every day, and they think it's a club. And I think that discourages new callers, which we don't want. We want new callers. And if you're a new caller, we will always move you ahead of whoever's on hold.
Should we just go ahead and start the NCDP early this year?
No, I forgot what the other point was. It's not a good sign. My first segment on the show and the synapses are already faltering.
Is that a side effect?
No. The first... So the first thing is don't think that because the callers, the regulars, don't think it's a club. Like,
right.
You know, we want new folks calling in. The second thing I would say is we know a lot of the regulars we get to know. Like, they come to our remote, so we know them. So, like, I don't know, maybe I'm too nice. Like, I don't want to rush anybody. I don't want to be like, you know, Phil or T-Carp or you know, even a dullard like John Tweed and Jamie. Like, we know these guys. I've met them.
Yeah, but most
so I don't
of those guys you just named, they aren't ones that carry on for. Phil usually gets in and out in between 4 and at most 5 minutes.
Are we talking about the same Phil that I'm talking that like the mayor said, oh, I got him. That guy?
Yeah.
He gets in and out quickly.
How you, Mayor Brown?
I'm staring at a clock.
I'm pretty sure he's the worst offender. No offense. And I love Phil. But, like, the Phil call can go on for a while. Am I wrong? Show of hands? No?
Yeah, it goes on for a little while.
Wow. Hayden and Trey turning on the mayor.
Whoa, wait a minute. Hey, Russell.
Yeah, no.
Russell, too.
I didn't say I don't like him and don't want him to call. I'm just
Phil,
saying that the
John
call.
Tyler and I enjoy your phone calls.
Yes, my hand was not raised. Let that be known.
Okay, go ahead, Russ. With
your segment. I just usually get bashed by Phil, so I really don't care one way or the other.
Whoa.
That's how Phil says I love you.
Should the drive continue taking phone calls? Or I've been in a self-reflective mood about the show past couple of days. It you know, you got to keep things fresh. I mean, we almost killed poor Hayden yesterday. Good thing we didn't do that. I'd hate to come in with blood on my hands. But, you know, there's always...
Yeah, but he did turn around and screw up the first hour of the podcast yesterday.
After we did the entire first hour on...
He was off his game. You guys were razzing him pretty hard. The poor guy. You sent him outside to sit in his car and listen to it on the radio. I feel bad for him.
Take a quick break. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio, stay with us. We're back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Hey, folks.
C's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
It's all right, Dad. It's all
right. Back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. Fox Sports, Canucksville, Russell Barrett, Trey back with you on a rainy Friday. Get set to go up and take on Kansas.
Really dampering plans.
At Allen Fieldhouse, it's dampering your plans?
Yeah.
Literally? Are you going to go out and are you going to do a little running outside?
Well, no, just trying to catch a ride down to my hometown.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, you going to the Senior Bowl tomorrow?
Yeah. Yeah.
That should be good.
Juwan and Darrell Taylor?
Is it Darrell or Darrell? Did we
know.
Ever come
See,
to a
I just don't
it's
want
It's Darrell.
I don't. Okay.
I thought it's Darrell.
No, it's Darrell Taylor.
Oh, no.
Are we sure on that?
I think it's Darrell.
Yeah, it's Darrell.
Okay.
That's how he introduces us. I'm Darrell Taylor.
Have you met him?
No.
How would you know how he introduces himself?
Because I saw it on TV.
You saw him introduce himself to somebody on TV?
Yeah. I've seen video of it. It's Darrell Taylor, bro.
Okay.
And we'll find out tomorrow.
I'll take your word for it.
I will get him to pronounce it on,
okay, go
on a video.
All right, let's bring in Christopher Smith from MyBookie to talk about the big weekend in sports coming up. Christopher, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Yeah, hey, fellas. Hope everything's going well in Knoxville.
Hey, it's going all right. A little rain, but, you know, it's okay. What do we do tomorrow, Christopher? I mean, the Senior Bowl, but I don't know if you guys – can you bet on
got
that?
The like, Pro Bowl, maybe?
What can we bet on this weekend? There's no football.
Well, I happen to live near Orlando, where the Pro Bowl will be taking place this weekend.
The Pro Bowl is taking place? I'll be honest. I do host a sports radio show. I had no idea the Pro Bowl
was this
weekend.
Well, they had the skills contest like last night, so that's the only reason I knew. But there could be some interesting prop bets, I guess, if you're into that type of stuff, right, Christopher?
I mean, I think the only way to reasonably bet the Pro Bowl is... You sit down with some of your buddies or whoever, if you have a son or something like that. You hammer the over, and then you just watch all these guys not play defense and just hope for a lot of points. I think that's the only reasonable way that you could possibly bet on the Pro Bowl.
That's the best gambling advice I've heard in a long time, not going to lie. Just hammer it home with the kid. Just see what the over is. No, I don't blame you. I mean, but we're looking at it right now. I did want to ask you, a lot of basketball games tomorrow. That Tennessee-Kansas line. With Kansas down two players, do you see the Jayhawks taking a hit on this thing, or you know, is this something where Tennessee might creep in a little bit more heading to Lawrence tomorrow?
You know, typically, especially with college basketball, even though this happens for every sport, it seems like whenever there's a suspension or an injury, a lot of the active daily bettors will automatically subtract some value. So in other words, if most of the daily college basketball bettors had Kansas as, say, a 12-point favorite, and then one of their best players is suspended, those people are automatically going down to 10 or 9 or something like that. So what I would say is I actually think you could almost blindly bet on underdogs this year against the top 10 on a Saturday, especially in sort of a game that the underdog will be excited to play in. But I think in this specific game between Tennessee and Kansas, it may actually hurt if you're looking to bet on the Volunteers, just because the market value that you would have had on Kansas will sort of be downgraded a little bit just because of those players being out, which even the casual bettors are fully aware of and maybe banking on, even though the market has already adjusted to that.
Hey, Christopher, what kind of odds can I get on Antonio Brown, I don't know, ever doing anything sane again? Or how about playing professional football again?
We had a handful of those kind of props kind of when the season was starting and all the crazy things were happening with the Raiders. And at the time, it was sort of, you know, like, we try to do fun props at MyBookie, and those usually have low limits to them, and they're more just kind of for entertainment and to talk about and just because we think gambling should be fun. But I think anything on Antonio Brown is halted, because I think if you bet on him not to play or to get arrested or to do everything else that we offered, you know, you're slowly racking up a little nice bankroll there, because all of those are hitting, and nobody's betting on, like, oh, yes, he will play in the NFL within a year, or no, he won't get arrested. Like, everyone hammered the worst possible outcome. So I think you'll probably see a pullback on Antonio Brown props from a lot of sports books, just because at this point you'd probably be losing a lot of money on anything you put out there.
No doubt.
Well, that's a good way to put it. And after yesterday, I mean, who knows what's going to happen. Hey, Christopher, before we let you go, man, the line, Super Bowl, where we're sitting at right now, big game upcoming here, I don't know, 8-9 days. How are we looking right now? Anything we should hit on before things get crazy next week?
Yeah, actually, you know, I've mentioned on your show in the last week or so how the Super Bowl may be like the single most efficient betting market that you'll get in the course of a year. In other words, like, there's so much money being bet and so many people looking at this line that by the time you get to game day, like, it's a coin flip. Which, if you're doing it for entertainment, great. But if you're like me and you want to win money on it, not so good. But occasionally, you'll see something like what we have now, where the over-under opened 51.5, 52, 52.5, depending on which sports book you look at. And it's now up to 55 on MyBookie right now, with heavy juice on the over. And I think betting on the Super Bowl is all about picking your spot, just sort of like the stock market where you're trying to buy low, sell high. And we've reached the point where, number one, this is, you know, MyBookie will be rooting for the under heavily, and I think this will be our biggest decision on Super Bowl Sunday out of any prop, any side, anything is, we have a huge imbalance. Tons of money is coming on the over, and hardly anyone's betting on the under. Now, we've been bumping up that price a half a point here, half a point there. And now that it's at 55, we're seeing a lot of buyback from sharp bettors who usually win money with us. So I think what I'm trying to say is that has reached its peak in the market, I believe. And I believe by kickoff, that number will be lower than 55. So I would say, if you're inclined to say the squares or the general betting public are probably not the sharpest, and they've hammered this number up to 55. And now's the time to go under, because I don't think you're going to get a better price than you're going to get right now today.
All right, good stuff. Christopher, we'll check back in next week for the Super Bowl. Have yourself a great weekend.
All right, see you guys. Thanks,
Christopher Smith, mybookie.ag, if you want to bet on anything this weekend. All right, we'll take a quick break right here. We'll come right back. And, boy, the poll is in the field, ladies and gentlemen. The results might shock you. They might astound you. Should the drive continue taking phone calls? I give you three options. Yes, no, or yes, but with shorter calls.
It's like a presidential shock we're about to get, or?
I don't know. It depends on how you define a shock. Stay with us. We'll give you the results of these. No phone calls. Hold your phone calls. Yeah, we're experimenting. Stay tuned. It's The Drive on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive is on.
Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio, Russell Paratre back with you, and taking a poll here, the future of the show hanging in the balance. Did you guys yesterday we knew it was going to happen, like just the three of us talking, and then maybe the occasional John Tyler or Hayden Wallen chime in? That was fun, wasn't it?
Tim, it was a nice change of pace. I don't know if I want to go completely non-callers.
You don't know if you what?
Want to? I'm not sure if I want to just completely stop taking calls.
Is this because you were once a caller and you feel like you would be turning your back on your roots?
I mean, a little bit of that. And like I've told you, and I'm being totally honest, sitting KFAT, I'm sometimes miss just being a caller, because I really used to be able to call in and burn it down and then hang up and I didn't have to worry about you being mad at me.
I really like how you said KFAT. That's a wrestling thing.
Is that how it's said?
Yeah, kayfabe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
How does he say it?
Here's a news flash.
I like how he uses the word kayfabe.
I was a wrestling fan, professional wrestling from a young age.
Yeah, I know. It's fun.
Trey, you're kind of cagey on this subject. Like, what kind of radio did you grow up listening to? Did you grow up listening to Crazy Caller Radio, or were you like a big Jim Rome guy? Like, what was your favorite show?
I grew up listening to Southeast Southern Tonight Football with Tim Brando and Coach.
Conference call.
They also had Pigskin Tonight, whatever. It was based out of Louisiana, but it was syndicated all throughout the South. Well,
that show, Conference Call. Buddy Howell?
Yep.
What was that guy's name?
I think that's what it was.
That show was really good.
It would come
at first
on at nights, and I would listen to it in my bedroom.
And it would come on, and then at one point they started – their jump the shark moment was they started just doing long segments on tailgating recipes.
Yeah, they shouldn't have done that. It killed it.
Yeah, and ever since the show just popped after that.
I grew up on that. I grew up on Feinbaum. I grew up listening on 1510. I could pick up 1510 WLAC in Mobile, Alabama at night.
Wow.
So I would listen to all the coaches'
shows.
So
you would listen to, was Bill King on that?
Yeah, yeah.
Who else was on 1510 WLAC?
It was
a 50,000 watt flamethrower in Nashville, man. It was a big time radio station.
No, but it really doesn't matter to me. Calls or no calls. I think some calls bring light.
Some calls suck. I think let's not beat around the
craziest
book.
Call in the last decade is Harvey Updike calling into Fall Feinbaum admitting that he poisoned the trees.
What's the craziest call on this show since you've been on it?
Nobody's done anything criminal on air that I know of.
Yeah, it's early.
I don't know. I think John Tweet gets a little crazy. I think when Philly's in a mood, it's a bit interesting with him. Though I like Philly. He's a shade thrower.
Daniel on the Twitter machine says, love the mayor of Sono and all the callers. John says, the drive's a call-in show. Don't fix what's not broken. The Fulmer Curse says, if you stop taking calls, I would suggest changing the name Fan Run. DR Vall says, shorter calls. I thoroughly enjoy Bear and Russ fighting, then Bear turning and telling interns to not to be sorry about, but to correct your mistakes. which he's right, podcasts.
It's true. Got a communique from Phil. He said, I guess before you said Max Howell, and apparently Phil.
Max Howell. Howell. Yeah.
Phil apparently used to, according to Phil, he used to call W-L-A-Z.
A-C.
Phil's saying Z.
He's calling the wrong station.
I could, like, he might be getting it mixed up, but it's W-L-A-C.
Yeah, he may have fat-fingered when he was texting me.
Jessica says the show is literally called East Tennessee's Premier Sports Radio Call-In Show.
Yeah, I mean, we would have to rebrand a little bit.
I look forward to hearing your callers every day. Why change a great thing that makes you all different?
How does it make us different?
It makes it different.
That's a good point.
We don't hand out calls away.
No, but.
And John and Cody don't take as many calls.
Well, I mean, John and Cody don't take any calls.
They sometimes do. I've heard them take calls before.
And then Three and Out, I mean, they've got their own callers.
Well, here's the thing, man.
You can't get the tennis coach on or something like that every single day to fill time. Here's my one thing about radio. If you're getting 6 to 7 guests on every single day on your show, that means you're not good at what you do and you can't carry your own show.
Well, yeah.
That's why I like having callers, too. I like having callers.
If you watch the Periscope, if you watch our live stream, if you're a frequent caller, you get your name on the screen. We have a little thing that pops up for you when you're on the phone. And
well, here's the thing, man. I swear, like, you could come here and look through my Twitter feed. I got a bunch of comments the past 48 hours about how the show was so much better without our stupid callers.
Are they people that call?
And now that we're talking about it and putting the poll in the field, people are coming out of the woodwork saying, if you stop taking calls, I'll stop listening, basically.
Yeah. Phil's adamant that it's okay. W-L-A-Z.
This has to stop. Like, Phil can't. You can't. Bear, you're allowing yourself to be used right now. You know that. Yeah. You can't read every time Phil sends you a text, which is still creepy that you and Phil text. You can't read Phil's text on the air.
Why he is it creepy? Me and Phil text.
He can call in.
That was a little out of line.
And he takes like a 10-minute phone call. That's his time. He does it like he doesn't get special
he's
privileges.
He's not sure if he's going to be afforded time today to defend himself.
Okay, fine. Well, I mean, he'll have
like
to
you
do
were
it.
Awfully mean to Phil earlier in the week.
We here's talked
the
more thing. About Phil.
Here's the thing. I feel like
not calling him.
Is it safe to say that maybe we've given the callers a little too much leeway and we need to crack the whip a little bit and rein things in, keep things moving? Keep things moving a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I like being on time. You know that.
You are a stickler for details. Should we continue taking phone calls? Well over 100 votes cast now, so this is usually where the Twitter poll starts to settle in.
Where are we at?
37.8% of the audience says yes.
Dang, that's an interesting percentage.
25.5%, and that just went up to 41%.
Yes, what?
New batch of says yes. Continue taking phone calls as is. 25.5% say no. So that's a fourth of the audience.
That's a significant number.
Yeah, it's not
insignificant. We can't just ignore it.
33.5% says yes, but shorter calls. So I don't know what to do with that.
You've got to be on the hook. Got to be on the hook. 2 minutes. 2 minutes, you get your point across, you get off the air.
But by far the most people are saying, yes, just continue as is. They don't want them shortened.
I have a question. The people that were telling you on Twitter that you should stop taking calls, were they the people that actually call in?
No.
No.
Okay.
There were a couple other people at work here.
Yeah, because they hate.
Somebody says to me, agree with Russell's take. Take back a little bit of control. Got to still take some calls, though.
Mike says, John Tweet needs to stop calling in and then saying, quote, I got nothing today, boys. That is a good point.
Not to just
come off on one caller specifically, but, okay, here's the, like, don't just, you hear this sometimes on our show, other shows. Like, somebody calls in, and they're like, hey, guys, what's going on? What are we talking about today? Don't do that. Don't be that guy. When you pick up a phone to call a radio show, have something to say. Have a take, a question. Like, have a plan.
I mean,
that's a bad phone call. You pick when you just call the show to talk to your friends on the drive. Like, hey, we're flattered. We like you. We love you. Thanks for calling. But have something to say, have something to add to the show.
Vol in Birmingham says, I listen every day from Birmingham to hear Trey's information and Russell and Bear argue back and forth. Bear is my favorite. Keep the same. Let people call in. Don't change something that's not broken.
Bear burner account.
No.
How many followers this guy have? 28?
No, he wouldn't have said
you all never something nice about burner. Me.
All right. Stay with us. Trey, you got to run?
I'm going to head down south. I'll keep you guys updated on the Senior Bowl.
All right, man. We'll look forward to it. We'll see you in here on Monday.
Can't wait.
In the meantime, hang out with us. We've got John Tyler's Top 4 at 4 coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio.